brother. Oh, what's up?
This is a good big party, man.
Yeah, brother, like,
dig it.
Stop. Right on.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah.
Time now. The Empowerment Hour, the hottest show on Saturday mornings in Jacksonville on Praise 107.9. And now, here's your host on the Empowerment Hour, Dr. Richard Danforth, president of the Jacksonville Urban League, Jarman Leitner, president of First Thursday, and the producer and host, W. Larry Williams, CEO of Anchor Multicultural Communications Company.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Empowerment Hour. This is Larry Williams, your co-host, along with Dr. Richard Danforth, Jacksonville Urban League president, and Jarman Leitner, president of Harvest Behavioral and Mental Health Services. And in the background is Roger, keeping the thing going. Happy Saturday and happy holidays, everybody. We are officially entering the holiday season. I hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving, and I know that we had a real quiet Thanksgiving. No traveling, no family over, just my wife and I, Francine and I. And, you know, we talked to our family, individually and Facebook and all that type of stuff, but we tried to adhere to the restrictions of keeping our family safe and hopefully living to see Christmas. What's going on with team members, Jarman? What's happening on you and your Thanksgiving?
All right, my Thanksgiving was wonderful. Happy Saturday to the listeners, and just had an exciting time with my family. Ours was quaint, I would say, not necessarily quiet, because we do have children. So we were playing games and watching movies, and we didn't eat too much. We really ate kind of light as well, but we had a great time and stayed indoors as well. So just appreciated those moments, to spend with them during the holidays.
What about you, Doc?
Well, I always have something good to say. I've got so many great things happening in my life, but let me just mention briefly we had a great Thanksgiving in that we had one of my mother-in-law's, Miss Daisy, with us. She's 92 years old. And, of course, my brother came down from Georgia. But other than that, we had a small gathering. And all of the ladies in the house prepared something, and it was absolutely superb.
What about the men?
Well, we ate, and we rubbed our stomachs, and we talked, we talked stuff. But on another note, we had an even more serious announcement. It seems that here on the show, I've been making some announcements, and I guess I have another one. I hope my son doesn't mind, but our only son, Richard Danforth III, will be leaving Monday, going to the Marine Corps.
Oh, wow.
So he's... he's looking forward to being in one of the Marine Corps bands. That he plays the tuba, and he set that as his goal right now. And we're really, really proud of him. How oftentimes our young blacks just aren't perceived as being patriotic and honorable. And I think he's stepping up as his grandfather did in the Navy and as his father did in the Army in Vietnam. And so now we'll have Richard III, hopefully as a Marine. He won't be carrying a rifle, but he will carry the tuba. So we're happy for him, and we are very excited for him. And we want to thank everyone for your prayers going forward, and may God continue to bless him. Thank you.
Well, congratulations, Richard III, and we wish you the best. Happy to hear that you're going to continue your musical career in the Marine Corps and beyond. I'm sure we'll probably be seeing you in New York sometime soon. But in the meantime, just congratulations. Keep up the good work. Guys, we have a lot to talk about and cover this morning. And you know, first off, my mind is the COVID deal. And again, we're experiencing records in everything, and positive tests and hospitalizations. We surpassed over 90,000 hospitalizations in the U.S. and that's the first time since the beginning of the pandemic. I think people are they talk about pandemic fatigue and all that type of stuff. As far as I'm concerned, this is not a time to be fatigued. Now's the time to get your second win, and start doing the things that's going to try and combat this virus, because it's not going away on its own. And don't think that the vaccine is going to provide any relief anytime soon. Okay, so the way to do this is to practice the safe things that we can do, things that we can control, like wearing a mask, washing your hands, and social distancing. And I know people don't want to hear that, but that's what I'm advocating for. People are going to do what they want to do anyways, Dr. Danford. So,
well, if people don't want to do what is needed for them to maintain their safety, please do it for us, for everybody else, okay? Please wear your mask around me.
Right.
Well, yeah, you can wear your mask around me or don't come around me. That's all I have to say, but that's a whole different deal.
People are going to do what they want to do.
Anyways, okay? That's right.
It doesn't matter how, we're already over 250,000 deaths.
Yes, over 250,000 people have died. I'm from Georgia originally, as is Doc, and I was talking to my family yesterday, and this is about as close to sad part of COVID as I've come. And one of my brother-in-law's aunt passed from COVID, and his sister is in the hospital now in Augusta with COVID. So, people think that this is a hoax down in the South, but it's not. It's for real. And I tell you, when you experience these things and they start hitting close to home, it makes it even more important that we try to do what we can to, prevent the spread. And I'm going to do my part. I hope everyone else does their part. But we can't demand anyone do anything. So let's just practice the things that we know and keep it going. Because, on Thanksgiving, we had over 125,000 new cases. One day.
Wow. And it continues. The total is reaching 1 million positive cases since the pandemic began in Florida, in the state of Florida.
It is. That's right.
Yeah.
So that's right.
So how do you tell the difference between the governor's mandates and the mayor's mandate? Are they congruent? Are they separate? I mean, I don't understand. Who do you believe and what do you believe?
Well, I think you have to just continue being vigilant, do your research on that. And I tell you one thing, folks are going to believe who they want to believe, but at the end of the day, they're going to do what they want to do. And it doesn't matter, who believes what. Do your research, and if you think it's a hoax, keep not wearing your mask and keep not social distancing, and you'll find out. So that's my take
on it.
Hey guys, one of the things that other some positive things is that yesterday kicked off the Black Restaurant Week in Jacksonville, and it started with the street festival, you know, which is it's a good thing.
Yes, it's an opportunity. It's about celebration. You know, it's about having a really good time. And that's, like you said, Larry, some positive news. And we want to continue that when we come back from our first music break. This is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9, and we'll be back.
The ultimate gospel experience, the new Praise 107.9.
The new Praise 107.9.
What? sleeping in the night, he will bring us goodness and light. He will bring us goodness and light. He will bring us goodness and light.
Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. It's Larry Williams with Dr. Richard Danforth, Jarman Leitner, and we're talking about the Black Restaurant Week that started yesterday in Jacksonville, and it's a street festival. You know, it highlights, you know, Black-owned restaurants, chefs, caterers, and food trucks that will host a selection of African-American, African and Caribbean themed meals and aim to expand the awareness and increase support of Black culinary professionals. That this is a good thing, right?
Yes, I believe it's a great thing to highlight Black-owned restaurants and chefs. I would have liked to participate in the festival yesterday, but it sounded like it was a great celebration.
What's the week-long deal?
Kickoff.
Yes, the fourth annual Jacksonville Millennial Market, and it runs from 3 to 7 p.m. on Friday yesterday.
It's
on A. Philip Randolph Boulevard. Speaking of that, the A. Philip Randolph Boulevard is an annex to the Lot J project, isn't it, Dr. Danforth?
Most definitely.
And we want to talk about a little bit about Lot J and you know, Nate Monroe, who's one of the feature editors, writers at the Jacksonville Florida Times Union. And he's saying that the city will pay a premium to move Shad Khan's pet project closer to the stadium. So this is a lot of things that's going on. Dr. Danforth, you had some information on that you wanted to share with our listeners.
Well, I certainly do. I really don't necessarily want to get caught up in, you know, the costs involved in this development. And I think downtown development is something that we should do. But what I'm concerned about is the lack of the city following through on their ordinances. Specifically, what I'm speaking to is the Neighborhood Bill of Rights, which if they follow the Neighborhood Bill of Rights, then citizens would have an opportunity to provide input. My thinking is that we have not had any kind of input into this Lot J. I see a rush by some of the council people to get this done. And I see Council President Tommy Huzuri is saying, hold up. Don't put council members on the clock to get this thing done. I think what we really need to do is look at, as we move toward a vote, whether to do this or not, I think we should ask the question, and I'm talking about citizens, should city employees receive federal funding, state funding, or city funding themselves or their businesses or their programs, and then decide whether we will spend $200+ million? I'm just saying, it seems to me that if I'm on the council and I receive, say, this money from the stimulus that the mayor pointed, you know, there was $140 million that he passed out. Of course, the Jacksonville Urban League did not get any. But I would think that if I had gotten a lot of money from the mayor, then it would be difficult for me not to vote for this project. So let's take all of that out of this situation and just put it out there that if you're on the city council, you should not have received any federal money, whether it's stimulus or whether it's community development block grant, because it gives the appearance that they're buying votes. And this is, we need more transparency. And so that's the issue I have. I just don't think it's right for council people to receive funding in organizations and black businesses and black community. All of us can't get any funding because it's all passed out by the current administration.
Well, you know, and I'm looking at the other things that Doc in back in the 1990s, early 90s, the engineering firms found enough petroleum contamination in soil and groundwater beneath Lot J, render it non-environmentally safe. You know, for residential use for development of that site. Just the enormous amount of money it's going to take to remove all of that contaminated soil and put, concrete reinforced barriers and so forth to protect the groundwater. Is the city going to pay for all of that?
Well, when you have just one entity doing all the negotiations on the part of the city, and that's what we have currently with our current form of government, a strong mayor, and then the city council is supposed to monitor that and pass legislation presented by the mayor's office. And I'm saying if you receive money from the mayor earlier, then I would think that you're going to have a hard time looking at this objectively. We've already had one council member to say, let's get it on. I mean, I was in the paper 2 days ago. Why can't we just go on and vote? We're ready to go. Go vote. So apparently they paid enough people down there enough so that apparently the votes are there if it ever gets to the point of being voted on. But I don't see how they can vote on it if they haven't allowed the community. We need to have a community meeting specifically to talk about this Lot J.
Okay, and let's be transparent here. Those are what Doc is talking about are allegations that of payoffs or whatever, and you know it also states that the contamination of Lot J will cost the tax. It'll be one of the most expensive properties to develop in downtown. So that means a premium for taxpayers who will have to pay so that Khan can construct his mixed-use project. And you know, again, as Doc is pointing out, you know, what's the rush? What's the rush? I mean, do the process and so that everyone can participate and you know, the community members and citizens can have at least some transparency on this process.
If we're going to get a great Christmas present, it should be one that's where we're not going to have to eat all the crow.
Yeah, well, it sounds like we're going to have to eat about the $93 million in pre-construction work. So that's a lot of money, and we're going to have to pay those dollars, not the developer or Shad Khan.
Will any of this work get done before the administration goes out? Is this something where we're going to pass this and start everything? But my understanding is Lot J, the contamination won't be cleaned up for 3 years. So is there some other development? What about this Taj Mahal, Four Season Hotel on the, golly, that was a Freudian slip. I'm sorry. But,
a Freudian slip. Okay. All right. So we are going to continue this as we continue to talk about what's going on in Jacksonville. We do know that what's going on today is Small Business Saturday, and we're going to get into talking about that when we return. Also, if you want to reach out to us and send us any of your questions or comments, please email us at jacksempowermenthour@gmail.com. That's jacksempowermenthour@gmail.com. We thank you for tuning in. This is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. We'll be back.
The ultimate gospel experience. The new Praise 107.9.
Every week on at 8 a.m. on the Empowerment Hour, You know, this is actually, you know, one of the hottest shows in Jacksonville on Saturday mornings, and we're continuing to, you know, bring you the news and unfiltered so that you can make intelligent decisions and know about things that you know, are being presented in the general media. But we're going to give you always a different spin to it. So, John and Dot, welcome back.
And we were
talking about Black Saturday in small business.
Small Business Saturday.
Small Business Saturday.
Yes, so today is
Cyber
Business
Monday.
It's Small Business Saturday. That's today. So we want to support small businesses.
So this, I see Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday. But I thought if it's black, it's not good.
Well, we want to talk about what's positive. Black is still positive. And we're talking about Small Business Saturday, and we want people to support small businesses. You know, small businesses did see a lot of what would you say? They were affected a lot by the pandemic in a negative way. Losing some of the small businesses had to completely close, loss of employees, loss of income. As a small business owner of Harvest Behavioral Mental Health Services, we saw some negative effects from it. But thankfully, are still sustaining and thriving, and we ask for support, you know, for the services that we provide. It's not just for products, but also for service businesses. So support your local small businesses so that we can continue to move the economy forward.
Well, you know, a lot of these small businesses really are relying on this holiday shopping season to tide them over. In the first quarter next year, because you know the Christmas holiday shopping is the linchpin to not only small businesses but businesses in general. And you know, although we can't compete price wise with the big box stores and things, okay. I think you know you go out and I think Dr. Danforth was talking about you know going to a furniture store and wondering why it was so empty, and most of the folks were in line at one of the big box stores you know, and standing in line all overnight to save, you know, what, $100 or so. Come on, just your life worth $100.
and then many people are waiting for Cyber Monday as well, because online shopping has increased, particularly during the
pandemic. All this is good if you have money to spend.
Right.
You know, we've got to think about the economy. I mean, and look at I'm seeing here in the Times Union, it says that layoffs increase economy a worry, which means that we really don't have the disposable income. You know, we've been sitting at home all, you know, for how many months now? And you would think that we could have saved some money by sitting at home, but and maybe that's why everybody's rushing out on Black Friday to spend some of the money that they've hoarded, you know, during this pandemic.
Well, some people lost jobs and aren't out shopping. But, so
yeah, but that's those are the minority apparently, because we're experiencing some of the highest shopping investments ever, you know, and during this season. So you know, somebody has some money out there and spending it.
Yes, you're right. Somebody.
Well, they apparently think that the city of Jacksonville has a lot of money. Apparently so. I mean, all these developments and, you know, and I mean, it's sad. I mean, but we can't get anything done in the other communities. I mean, all of the money is going downtown. And I look forward to it. Well, we probably won't have a dynamic downtown during my lifetime. But it just bothers me how we make decisions and how people who receive funding from the city then on the other hand can decide how much more money to spend, you know, through passing another initiative. And we're not against Lot J and and all of this. I'm for economic development, but I think that you have to have an equitable application of the rules and regulations as to how you receive funding from the city. And if it's a conflict, you shouldn't be allowed to vote on something that's going to obligate the citizens to a long range financial situation, especially negative.
Well, you were speaking of equitable. Oh, go ahead, Larry.
No, you go ahead.
No, speaking of equitable, that leaded me into thinking about the Black firefighters lawsuit that is pending right now. You know, Dr. Danforth, the Black firefighters, there's a policy within amongst the firefighters that they have to have a clean shave, and prior to that, they could have a low beard or a low shave. You all are men. You all know more about this facial hair than I do. But from my understanding, now that they have to have a clean shave, that actually interferes with a skin condition that they have, and it can cause, keloids and just damage to the skin with this policy in place. And so what are your thoughts on the justness in this case?
Well, I think, number one, I think it's a racist policy because they're identifying a certain race, in particular African-American. I mean, everybody knows we have coarse hair in it, and it curls up and it goes back into the skin, which brings out the bumps. So you have to be very careful about how you shave. But we have research on masks. There's no indication that wearing a mask with a beard with this hair on your face will cause that mask not to be effective. So I just think it's something that they dream up just to stereotype African-American men. I mean, it's always something negative. That's what I'm saying. Black Friday. Is Black Friday supposed to be a negative day or a positive day? Why is everything associated with us on the negative side?
Well, you know, I think that the anything that Black folks have earned in the way of combating racism has always been through the courts, and this isn't the first time that the Black firefighters have had to sue the city over some potentially racist process that's been interjected into policy in the city. And it's a shame that we continue to allow this to happen. And, perhaps we can make some changes, as we move forward by getting to the polls and continuing to vote for folks that have the best interests of everyone. But in particularly, the African-American community, who's been, isolated and deprived through this for 52 years now over since consolidation.
And I said, saying, Larry, I think of oppressed as well. You think about even with the Black firefighters right now, they don't lose their job. It just prevents promotions and opportunities and
it demotes. Well, that's losing your job.
Demotes. Yeah. Okay. Well, okay. So,
if you have to, if you aren't in line for promotions, guess what? Guess who's getting promoted?
Yes.
When you have hiring policies in place, it's the people that are making the decisions are the ones who are getting promoted.
Well, Larry, we've always had a problem with the firefighters and really the firefighters union, the main one. It goes all the way back to pre-consolidation. And of course, the fire department, those guys, number one, we had to sue in order to become a fireman, and then we had to sue in order to take the exam so we can get promotions. Everything is, it seems that you have to sue the city to do the right thing. And that's what I don't understand about the consolidation. They talk about how great consolidation is, but it's great for the people who it's great for. It's not great for us.
Well, we're gonna continue our great conversation when we come back with our education contributor school board member, Dara Willie of DCPS. We ask that you just continue to tune in. This is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9, and we'll be back.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience.
Everybody, and welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. We're in our final segment, and it's our education segment with DCPS school board member Daryl Willie and the man with two first names. Daryl, happy holidays and welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. We're excited to talk about what's going on with our public schools, and especially you know, now that we have a break for Thanksgiving and with the continued rise in COVID cases nationwide and most importantly in Florida, did we have any significant outbreaks or anything that's of significance during prior to the holiday?
Yeah, appreciate being on. Yep, two first names, because I want to be first on your mind and first on your heart. That's what we say. That's what we say. yeah, it's a pleasure to be on here, as always, on the Empowerment Hour. And before the break, we didn't have too many significant sort of outbreaks going on. There was one outbreak that sort of happened at Matthew Gilbert. They had to sort of push the sixth grade in those last couple of days to online virtual learning because a couple of the teachers actually tested positive in that grade level. So I think what we're doing right now, as you all probably know, is just kind of bracing and kind of trying to do our sort of our public service announcement to everybody, letting you know, hey, wear a mask, social distance, even if it's your family, because I think that's where people let their guard down. They start grouping with their family, and you never know, that one cousin, uncle, somebody might have it. Now all of a sudden they come and visit for a couple hours, and now the whole house is infected. So That's what we're worried about coming back in our schools when we come back from winter break.
Break. Okay, that's awesome. And I think there's more concern about the returning to school after the holidays. What do you think?
Yeah, like we're actually having a lot of discussions. I mean, we've gotten a lot of emails, a lot of just feedback on, hey, what are we doing after the Christmas / winter holiday break? As you know, a lot of the colleges and universities are actually not having their students come back for an extended period of time to give sort of that sort of phase back in, so to speak, because they know you're going to be gathering and you have so much time you're spending with people. We are still on schedule to come back at the same time at this point. We do have a board meeting coming up the first week of December before the holiday break. So if anything comes up before that or in between that, I'll let you know. But as of right now, we're on schedule to come back at the same time that we're supposed to come back in early January.
Okay. Now, Daryl, you mentioned offline that there will be a will not be a public time for people to get come together in person for school selections. Tell us about that process and how it's going to work.
Yeah, so usually what we do is the school choice office has a choice fair at the Prime Osborne, where every school basically has a representative or representatives come and set up booths, and it gives parents and families an opportunity to sort of test drive and meet folks from the various schools. Since it's so many people in one congregated space, we're not going to be doing that this year. We're not going to be meeting.
That's a good thing.
It is a good thing, and it's something that we definitely have been sort of pushing and thinking about. So the choice office, Ms. Peek and her team over there have done a tremendous job thinking about innovative and creative ways to get folks to connect and engage with our school. So it is going to be a virtual choice fair in the beginning of January. And I believe that date is set for that first weekend in January. And that is going to be an opportunity where at that allotted time, schools and representatives will have a virtual booth in this virtual fair. And you'll be able to go by and chat with folks from different schools. They'll have videos up about their schools that either students produced or they produced. So it's still a great opportunity to get out and get out virtually and see what our schools are all about, because that's the great thing about our school district. It's open choice. You can essentially go to any school in the whole district. You're not tied to your school that's right next to you or right down the street from you. If there's an open seat in that school, you can go to that school. And that's what's great about our school district. You just have to make sure you know the process and know how to get your student or your family involved and connected to those schools.
Okay,
hey, Daryl,
so Daryl,
I had a question. Larry, can I ask Daryl about what's going to happen with this special committee of community leaders that's supposed to come together?
Before we go there, I want Daryl to amend the his conversation about what's going to happen with those challenged folks with internet and access for the open enrollment deal, Daryl.
Yeah, so we're making a couple of different moves to ensure that folks that may not have access to the internet or computers are able to do that. So we'll have some time set up where we can actually folks can come in and do that. But we also we're planning on working with the Family and Community Engagement Office to also on that day, if you're a church or if you're a nonprofit, you may have 10 or so families that you feel comfortable with in your setting to kind of set that up, and they can actually walk through and have that virtual fair in your environment. So details haven't all been worked out, but we're looking to do creative things like that. And I know folks listening, and I know you all that sit in this in the radio booth too, you all have always been very proactive when it comes to thinking about that. And I appreciate it. And we're thinking about it too. So any ideas, we'll take them because we want everyone to know that they have options and what their choices are, especially as we move into this next year.
Okay, Doc, what was your question?
Well, I was curious as to if we are going to have some type of community committee to somewhat make suggestions or recommendations as to how some of this money is spent. You know, I'm talking about the half penny sales tax that passed, you know. I guess all of that will happen after the first of the year. perhaps when we return, Darryl. But any thoughts on that?
Yeah, we have an oversight committee of over 20 community organizations that is in place now. We had to submit our names as far as the board members each get a representative that they like. We had to submit those November 19th. So because of that, now they're going to reach out to individuals. If you are in that oversight committee, you should be getting an email or correspondence, because there will be some sort of probably meeting or at least conversation that happens even before winter break, because things are starting to move already and we want to make sure this committee is up and going and up and running. So if you're one of those folks who you're a community member and wants to know more about that, because yes, there's those solid 20 or so folks who are on that committee, but those meetings are open to the public. We want folks to come in. There'll probably be opportunity for folks to speak and give their thoughts and opinions on what the progress is. So there's plenty of opportunities for folks to be engaged deeply and or just come in and out, depending on your preference.
Right. Okay. Jarman, any comments?
No.
Okay. And so you're just going to leave it at that, huh? All right. So I wanted to go back and update our listeners on the Black Restaurant Week, and how they can participate. For more information on Black Restaurant Week, you can visit Black Restaurant Weeks, BlackRestaurantWeeks.com, and you can get more information about the market. And on News Jax 4, there's a map with identifying the locations and the names of the businesses that are participating in this fourth annual deal. So, be vigilant. Go out and support these Black restaurants and caterers. A lot of these restaurants have been closed or lit with limited participation from us. And they need the help. They need to be around for 2021 like everyone else.
I like that.
Yes, and remember to support Small Business Saturday today. Support your local small businesses, products and services.
Cyber Monday. Cyber Monday.
And support Cyber Monday.
Can I throw a quick shout out in, really quick? Definitely supporting our businesses. We have the top five teachers of the year just got announced on this past week. And
great.
I have to give a shout out. One of the teachers from R.L. Brown, which is in my district, is a top five finalist for Teacher of the Year in the district. And we're just so proud of all of our teachers for all the work that they do this year. But specifically, a shout out to Miss Jackson and R.L. Brown. She is a top five finalist, and she's well deserving. I've seen her in action, and it's something to be seen.
Yeah, awesome. Let's give a clap for her.
We need to recognize our teachers and staff at these schools, because, you know, just like we're concerned about the kids and students, you know, teachers are on the front line of that, and they're the ones who has to sit there in front of those students every day and deal right. with this potential virus spread and so forth. So, congratulations to all of the candidates. All right. So with that being said, any closing remarks, guys? I just want to wish everybody, happy holidays and look forward to next week's show. We're going to have some other big announcements, I'm sure, as we do on the show every Saturday morning, 8 a.m. on the Empowerment Hour, Praise 107.9 FM. Particularly thanking them for, having us on the air.
All right. Everyone have a wonderful weekend.
Be safe.
Everyone.